worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. This is Ted Brower, and I will be your host and the only person on the show today. Austin's taking a day off, and I just wanted to cover the news with you guys today. So it's going to be more of a fireside chat with me today. We're all going to kind of sit around here, and I wish I could take call-ins and questions, but we can't do that in this time slot. And we're going to have a little chit-chat, you and me. We're going to sit around like we're sitting around at the fireplace, you know, here at my house, and you know, almost have a cup of hot chocolate, organic, I may add, and just chill out for a little bit and talk. And there are a lot of things I've wanted to cover with you guys in detail, but I've not had time to do it, so I'm going to do that today. But I want to start off with a few stories here to start with. And I want to talk about this ABC bombshell that just happened, and what's going on with ABC host and what's happening with the Epstein story that could have been released back in 2016. Here's an article from Newsbusters, and it says that the O'Keefe bombshell, the ABC host says network spiked Epstein's story in 2016. 3 years ago, during the 2016 presidential election, ABC spiked an expose in the convicted pedophile Jeffrey Epstein and his networks and connections to powerful men, including Bill Clinton. That is the bombshell scoop by investigative journalist James O'Keefe. In a hot mic video leaked to O'Keefe, 2020 co-anchor Amy Robach can be heard angrily lamenting the fact that ABC killed the story regarding alleged victim Virginia Roberts. Robach complained to an off-camera ABC staffer. She, Virginia Roberts, told me everything. She had pictures. She had everything. She was hiding for 12 years. We convinced her to come out. We convinced her to talk to us. It was unbelievable what we had. Clinton, we had everything. The comments, which were recorded with Robach mic'd up in a studio, occurred in August of 2019. She goes, I tried for 3 years to get it to no avail, and now it's all coming out. It's like these new revelations, and I was freaking. I had all of it, and I'm so pissed right now. Like every day I get more and more pissed because I just like, oh, my God, what we had was unreal. Other women backing it up. Brad Edward, the attorney, 3 years ago saying like we were that we've come a day when we will minimize Jeffrey Epstein was the most prolific pedophile this country has ever known. I had it all 3 years ago. Of the Project Veritas video, O'Keefe explained the brave insider who leaked this tape to us does not know who at ABC spiked the story, but someone at ABC does. Our question, who killed Jeffrey Epstein's story of ABC News and why? He's just people contact ABC News President James Golston. That's interesting, Golston. I mean, we probably need to go ahead and do a Wikipedia background check on James Golston and see who he is. Let's do that real quick, just for the fun of it. Well, I've got you guys on the phone, and I'm talking to you. We're going to do a background check on James Golston and see what he has to say. And let's see. We'll do ABC. We'll do Wikipedia. And it basically will say ABC News, Wikipedia, broadcasting company, James Golston. He doesn't. Apparently, he doesn't want to have an ABC Wikipedia page. Anyhow, it doesn't make any difference. We're not going to. I was going to go into a full background on him real quick, but I don't think we really need to do that, do we? So we'll do that tomorrow. But anyhow, let's go back to the story. So what's interesting now? This, by the way, this is what you get when you get me by myself. No, normally I can bounce back and forth to Austin, and so you guys don't have to be exposed to all that nonsense, but we're going to expose it to you a little bit anyhow. And here's a Breitbart. Breitbart says, Epstein bombshell didn't satisfy its standards and ran unfounded allegations on Kavanaugh, but yet ran unfounded allegations on Kavanaugh. ABC News released a statement following the Project Veritas video that suggested it quashed a massive story on billionaire pedophile Jeffrey Epstein, claiming the story did not meet its standards. Yet the network did not appear to apply its so-called standards in the case of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh, eagerly providing a platform for the unfounded allegations of sexual assault against the then nominee. Both ABC News and Amy Robach released statements following the emergence of a video showing an irritated Robach suggesting the network quashed a bombshell interview with an Epstein accuser who had, according to Robach, pictures and everything. So what's interesting about all of this stuff is that I have been on many, many live mics, and I have done interviews on live mics. In fact, what was interesting about this is that you don't understand, because most of you have never been on TV, is that when you get on a live microphone, in many cases it's being broadcast via uplink before the show begins. In other words, everything you say on a live mic when the camera's turned on is being broadcast or recorded and being kept somewhere. Years ago, this is crazy, but I'll tell you the story. I was doing a major TV evangelical person, basically, who was had me on as a guest. And they were recording me live when I was in the audience the day before, and they asked me to come back the next day and do a show with them, and I did. Then they asked me to come back like 6 months later and be back on their show again, which I did. And what was interesting about this, when I came back the second time to do the show, they had me on a live mic and they were recording everything I said, and they did the TV show. And then all of a sudden, they said, keep talking, we're off the air now, but your live mic is going out to our internet viewers. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I made the I didn't make a mistake, but I started talking about the problem with homosexuality in the Christian church. Well, what I didn't understand at that point was that that minister had been accused of being a homosexual, and that that minister had apparently had a lot of homosexual staffers on his in his group who was working for him that day at the studio, and that he had a very large homosexual audience. I didn't pay any attention to it. I was just talking like I'm talking to you guys right now, so I'll try to be a little more candid with what I say today. And what was interesting about this is he ended up not inviting me back on again. You know, surprise, surprise, surprise. And to this day, I've been blackballed from that studio, from that minister, from that TV evangelist or whatever. And if I told you his name, you would think, well, who cares? Well, he happens to be one of the largest TV evangelists in the world right now. And when you go in there and you have a new book release, it sells a lot of books, and you can really bless a lot of people with the information. A lot of times I would do TV shows with evangelists of poor reputation, only to reach the audience. And once a pastor asked me, well, why do you do this? And I said, it's very simple. They have a very large audience. The very large audience needs to hear the truth. And so I would go into these shows and I would do fundraising for these folks or sell books for these folks. And what happens is this. These TV ministries, I'm going to tell you guys a lot of inside information now. They'll go directly to the publisher. Let's say they'll bring Ted Brower on. Let's see, Ted Brower sells 100 books, all right? And quite frankly, it wouldn't be 100 books. On a show like this, it would probably be 10,000 books. So they come in, and the publisher would come in, and you'd make your 20 cents a book or whatever as the author, and then they would buy the books at wholesale from the publisher. So let's say it was a $20 book. They would buy it for like $3 from the publisher. They would keep the $17 spread. The publisher would pay you a 20 cent per book royalty. You think, well, that sounds unfair. So if you sell, 10,000 books, you're going to make, $2,000. Well, yeah, that's about right. It's not even that. That's not right. 20 cents a piece would be about $2,000. No, that would be $2 a piece. That'd be 20 cents a piece. That's be right. And what the crazy part about this is that that's how these ministries fund their operations. They basically bring guests on to sell the material, either a CD series or a book or whatever. And that's why they bring you on, is to basically allow themselves cash flow when they do the shows. Because remember, these ministries were having to pay for the TV broadcast. Some of them signed $1 million contracts with stations like, TBN and with Daystar. And so they have to generate huge amounts of money. So what you need to understand is it's a machine. It's a giant nonprofit corporate machine that runs these nonprofit organizations and groups, especially when they're on TV. And a lot of these guys will bring in $100-200 million a year in generated revenue, and they may be paying $4, $5, or $10 million to TV stations to do that. Then they have the associated overhead. The thing about it is they're a nonprofit, which doesn't make any sense because they earn so much money, and then they're allowed to take that money from the nonprofits that they earn and buy themselves jets and multiple mansions and not have to pay any real estate taxes and not have to do any kind of depreciation curves. So, and that's why so many people that are, I would say, I guess, fakes or cons or charlatans, whatever you want to call them, get into TV ministry broadcasting because of the tax benefits of owning a 501(c) corporation and not having to pay taxes on the money that you don't take out personally. So in other words, if you buy a jet for the organization, you don't have to depreciate the jet. You don't have to declare the jet income money as income. You don't have to do anything. You just buy the jet and then have to pay the fuel, which you can expense off through the organization too. This is why a lot of these guys will have multiple parsonages and multiple churches around the country. Everything's owned by the corporation or by the 501(c) and allows them this incredible lifestyle of private jets and yachts and everything else, without having to pay any income tax on any of these items that they purchase. You think, well, that's not right. I'm not telling you it's right. I'm just telling you that's what they do. Now, also, there's another article. ABC bosses are now scrambling about Amy Robach's comments about Jeffrey Epstein. ABC bosses are battling to deal with the fallout from comments made by Good Morning America reporter Amy Robach, who was caught on a hot mic claiming that network brass scrapped her interview with a Jeffrey Epstein accuser to appease the royal family. The GMA reporter could be heard complaining that she spent 3 years trying to get the interview with Virginia Roberts Guffey. ABC News swiftly moved on Tuesday to have Robach issue a statement in which she backtracked on her initial claims. The anchor said that she was caught in a moment of private frustration on the video, which was released by the conservative website Project Veritas Sunday and believed to have been taped this July. In her statement, Robach said that she was disappointed that her interview with Guffey, taped in 2015, did not run as it failed to meet ABC's reporting standards, while insisting that she had never been told to stop reporting on the Epstein scandal. ABC stories, because what they're doing there, this is called damage control. This is called spin. ABC sources told Page Six Tuesday there was zero truth that the interview was held to court favor with the royals, and particularly, as Robach said on the cameras, to get an interview with Prince William and wife Kate Middleton. ABC source says a lot of broadcasters would probably emphasize that we do not run everything past standards and practices that are there, and there are times when interviews can't air. Now, let me stop for 1 second. Years ago, I was doing a show with Kathy Fountain. And it was the Kathy Fountain Show. It was on CBS at that point. This is back in the 90s. This is over 20 years ago. And I came in and I did the top 10 foods never to eat. And they ended up having a 37% market share of like the 17 Tampa Bay counties on my show, which was huge, by the way. That means millions of people were listening. And so the show had a great response for Health Masters. It had a great response for me. It had a great response for the station. And they asked me to come back on. About 6 months later, and they told me that I couldn't mention aspartame again because they had threatened to pull their commercials for aspartame or diet sodas from that station if they aired another show with me talking about diet soda. And I remember Kathy was very upset that they had basically censored her. And that same station, just a few years later, they had done a whole show on bovine growth hormone, and they had a program on there called The Investigators, and they were actually going in and investigating, and this was true journalism. And they went back to Monsanto again with bovine growth hormone being put into cattle and what it did to human beings and how dangerous it was. And again, Monsanto came back in and told them, you are not allowed to air this. You can't air this. We'll have the attorneys, you know, at your doorstep, et cetera, et cetera. And they didn't air it, and they were censored again. And these individuals pitched a fit who weren't allowed to do this, and then they ended up being terminated, filed a wrongful dismissal suit, all the other things, and of course nothing came of it because they were found, I guess, wrongfully dismissed or whatever it was. You guys can verify this for yourself. It was a long time ago. But this is the power of the media and these giant corporations, which are run by the international banking cartels, and their ability to censor the news. Now, interesting. James O'Keefe, who released the story, he activated a dead man switch before the release of the Epstein cover-up footage, suggested he received threats from very powerful people. Project Veritas head James O'Keefe has activated a dead man switch before the release of new footage about a cover-up surrounding the death of Jeffrey Epstein, suggesting he has received threats from very powerful people. Kind of sounds like what happened to me. On a phone call, O'Keefe said that his tweet about the dead man switch was not a joke, suggesting that Project Veritas has received threats not to make the information public. Before his tragic suicide, sometime tomorrow morning, I knew James O'Keefe nil and admired his work, tweeted Jeremy Boring, to which O'Keefe responded, dead man switch activated. In other words, they're already spoofing the fact that he's going to commit suicide. You know, years ago, I released a show. We did it with Hagman. And I did it on Nagelais and GCAMF and all of these doctors dying all over the country who are working on natural protocols for autism, cancer, heart disease, diabetes, using a contact that says GCAMF, which is a macrophage activating molecule. which basically what it does, it helps, according to the researchers, they had a 15% cure rate on autism, 85% of the children improved somewhat, and 15% had no response. And these doctors who were working on this particular protocol and some doctors who were working on natural cures for cancer were suddenly being found dead. And when I started off the show, I said to the folks who were listening that day, first of all, we were taken off the air for the first hour, and then we came back on again. The whole system was knocked down. And I announced immediately that I was not suicidal, that I had no interest in killing myself, and that, you know, and that basically I was releasing this information, you know, via the internet to make sure that everybody understood what was going on. And when Doug Hagman asked me about this information, I told him, I said, Doug, I could do the show, but, you know, do you really want to do this? I mean, this is some pretty dangerous stuff to be covering, considering that all these people are dying around this topic. But we did it, and that show was 4 or 5 years ago. Ended up having, oh gosh, 10 million views, which, of course, now has been scrubbed by YouTube. So the crazy part about all of this is that we live in a situation in this country now where this, how should I say this, this censorship is very, very, very real, and we need to be aware of what's going on. Because the powers that be, the powers that run the media, the power that run the bank, the power that run the major corporations, the powers of all these people, 95% of these people that are doing this international banking cartel, they run the planet. And they don't want information like this stuff on Jeffrey Epstein coming out. They don't want people coming out and telling you guys the truth like we do on this show. And so it's so very, very important that all of us, you know, work together to put this show that we're doing right now out there. We've got to have the ability to do this, because a lot of the news aggregates are, you know, controlled by these globalists. The Gateway Pundit just came out with another article. It says Drudge, the news aggregator, loses it, goes on Never Trump binge, loses one-fifth of the audience and 200 million page views. I talked about this weeks ago. Now it's hitting the news. And what's interesting about this is, remember, Drudge came from nowhere. He's a gay Jewish fellow. He came from nowhere with the Monica Lewinsky, Bill Clinton scandal back in the 90s. No one had ever heard of Drudge. And now he's one of the largest news aggregators in the world. And again, now he's gone a full binge against Donald Trump. Also, he does full homosexual promotion, full transgender promotion, full perversion promotion, constantly on his news channels. And so it's so frustrating, because at one time he used to put out good stuff. But remember, the guys who control him, in my opinion, it's my opinion, my First Amendment right, are the same guys who started him and who run the international banking cartels. And we need to understand that right now, you know, this has been the century of wars. And this is an article from the Washington Standard that says there's no coincidence that the century of endless wars coincided with the century of central banks. For those who have not understood why many of the founding fathers opposed a central bank, Rockwell Jr., the Mises Institute, provides the very demonstrable examples in our own land to show how they go hand in hand with endless wars. I've posted this to the Health Masters news site. Guys, if any of you are not watching and going to the Health Masters news site, it is probably the best news aggregator in the country. It really is. All of these, every single story that's posted at the Health Masters news site is something that I have personally posted. No one else does it, just me. Every once in a while, Harris might do a few of them that he wants to do, but 99% of the time, it's me. Now, Harris is my youngest son. But what we need to understand is this. I'm not going to promote pro-homosexual stuff. I'm not going to promote pro-deviant stuff. I'm not going to promote any of that stuff because I don't believe it. And so I'm not going to give it a platform. Now, every once in a while, I'll put something in there that's fake news, and I'll say something like, this is disinformation, this is fake news, on the beginning of the article. As far as I'm concerned, I put Ted on it because I want you guys to know what they're doing and how they're doing it. But we have to take a look. Think about it for a second. What happened with these endless wars that are being pushed by these banking cartels? They learned with the Napoleonic Wars, when they funded both sides of the war, they could bankrupt countries and take them over. They understood this. They understood what they did, how they did it, and they've dialed it in. And this is who these guys are. And USA Watchdog came out with a show just this week, and it says the bankers are going for broke because they know the system is broke. G. Edward Griffin, and this is by Greg Hunter's USA Watchdog, and again, it's posted at the Health Masters website. It says, what's wrong with the financial world with the longest expansion in history and the Fed starting QE money printing again? This time it'll probably be QE to infinity. We are living in a system of banks, by the banks and for the banks, and that is the reality. and they see the wheels are coming off. The system of endless inflation in which we live cannot go on forever. All systems of exponential growth always collapse. They come to an end at some point, and it's hard to tell exactly at what point, but you do know there is a breaking point where it just moves beyond reality. The banks know this better than anybody. So I'm assuming that they feel they are at the end. You can smell it. You can see it. You can almost touch it. So what do you do? I think their thinking is, hey, we're at the end of this cycle. Let's just grab all we can, and when the system collapses, we will be okay. That's kind of a crude way of putting it, but I think they are going for broke because they now know their system is broke and there's not much more they can do about it. So what's the plan by the bankers? This is from G. Edgar Griffin. He goes, I think I know. They are waiting for the big collapse to come. Then they will personally be okay because they have amassed hard assets. Now listen to what he said. Same thing I tell you guys all the time. They are trying to hold all the gold, all the silver, all the real estate, all the Fortune 500 corporations, all the stuff that has value. They want all the tools, the factories, the food supplies, but everything else based on numbers, paper, and debt that will collapse. So they will be able to pick up everything for pennies on the dollar. What does the little guy do? Hold hard assets, Griffin says. This question usually comes in from the form of what does the average guy do? The answer is, of course, if you want to do something, stop being average. You've got to climb up out of that level. You have to become unaverage. You have to start asking questions. Now, what I would suggest that you guys do, and we've talked about this so many, many times, is that you hold things like gold and silver. And, you know, you say, well, they're still expensive. Well, they're being manipulated. Sooner or later, they're going to run out of money to manipulate this and do these naked shorts. This is one reason they're really pushing for the one world government now as hard as they possibly can, because if they know they do this, that they'll have the ability at that point, if they go to digital currency, they can inflate to infinium and beyond. They can do whatever they want to do and go forever, go for broke, move dots on a screen. And they don't have to worry about printing money and trying to maintain treasury assets and certain amounts of cash reserves in banks. They don't have to worry about any of this stuff. They can just print as much as they want from a digital standpoint. This is what the Bible says is going to happen. This is going to be the mark of the beast. This is going to be the 666. This is going to be, you know, the mark on the hand or the forehead. This is going to be the digital age that we're going to go into, which you will not be allowed to buy or sell if you don't have the mark of the beast, which is your pledge to Lucifer. And guys, the Bible says that if you take this mark, you cannot be saved. This is where they're going. Now, in the meantime, what they've had to do, they've had to destroy everything they could do as far as, how should I say this, the morals and the values of the United States of America. They've had to come in with their Frankfurt School ideology, and they had to take control of the very hearts, the minds, and the souls of the people in the United States. Now, I pulled an article up. This is from Breitbart. It's posted on the website. And Breitbart published this, which absolutely shocked me. And I'm going to read you parts of it verbatim. It says, Al Jazeera affiliate says, quote, the Jews control the porn industry to corrupt people. Now, I'm going to stop right there. This is not the group of Jews that you know who go to your local, you know, grocery store, who you guys are friends with, who run around doing all this stuff. They're not involved in this. But this is because of an atavistic hatred of Christ. Now, this is on Breitbart. I'm reading you the headline on Breitbart. And it says, the Algerminer reports an internet channel owned by Qatar broadcaster Al Jazeera uploaded a video last week complaining that the Jews control the porn industry and they have used it to corrupt people because they hate Christ. And this is why I'm reading this to you guys. Now, you think about this for a second. Why is this true? And we know that the Jews have dominated Hollywood, and we know that they have dominated most aspects of the porn industry, if not all of them. This is what the narrator is saying. And then he goes on to say, even the famous Playboy magazine, which was founded in the middle of the 1950s, he says the Jewish control over the magazine team was entirely clear from day one, they added. Now, what's crazy about this is that, you know, we've talked all about how this whole thing happened through the Frankfurt School. And here the Algerminer is putting this together as far as who tied it together with the groups of people who came from Germany through the Frankfurt School, came to our major universities like Columbia, and pushed this Frankfurt School ideology for the corruption of the values of the United States, pushing Playboy magazine, pushing pornography, pushing Gloria Steinem, who was also Jewish. All of these things, we have to go back and we have to see what the root cause was. And it goes right back to Lenin and Stalin and the same group of people, the Rothschilds, who took over the Russia with the Russian Revolution. Now, the irony of all of this is, it goes back to what Prager said in his article last year, that it's the left-wing part of the Jewish group that does all of this stuff, which gives the majority of the Jewish people a bad name and basically cause all these problems of persecution against the Jews. He's absolutely right. This left group that we're talking about are the Sabbatean Frankists. That's the majority of these guys. They're Luciferians. They're the synagogue of Satan. And they drag everybody, including other Jews who have nothing to do with this, into this ditch. Now, let me go ahead and finish this. I want to read you what this guy says and give you the exact quote. Playboy was first owned and operated by Hugh Hefner and then his daughter. The clip then cites porn performer Ron Jeremy and adult entertainment company owner Stephen Hirsch as proof of the domination of the porn industry. The narrator blames this on the Jewish religion, asking what led the Jews to this holy march against the porn industry. Is there more profound reason other than their desire to earn profits in light of the low cost of production, the clip asks. Researchers have mentioned reasons like the rebellion against conservative values, they desire to corrupt people, and the shift from the European ghettos to the American freedom, but no one has a straightforward as to why Jewish producer Al Goldstein did this. When Al Goldstein was asked why Jews dominate the porn industry, Goldstein said clearly, quote, now listen to this, this is his quote. When Al Goldstein was asked why the Jews dominate the porn industry, Goldstein said clearly, quote, the only reason that the Jews play a role in the porn industry is that we hate Christ, the narrator claims. Goldstein, who was notorious for deliberately provocative and offensive statements, actually said, this is his real quote, the only reason that Jews are in pornography is that we think that Christ sucks, Catholicism sucks, and we don't believe in authoritarianism. Asked about his Jewish identity, Goldstein replied, it doesn't mean anything. It means I'm called a kike. From this, Midin, the guy who's talking about this article, extrapolates conspiracy by Jews to destroy non-Jewish civilization, saying, therefore, porn has become a means to pollute Christian culture because it quickly permeates American homes. Now, guys, this is from Breitbart. That's why I read you this article from Breitbart. This isn't Ted Brewer saying this, all right? This isn't some radical group saying, you know, hey, look, this is why they're doing this. This is an article posted by Breitbart, and you can read it at the Health Masters news site. In fact, if you want to read this whole article for yourself, I asked Harrison to locate it for me today because it was one of those things. It's the fourth from the bottom on Monday's news stories. Fourth from the bottom on Monday's news stories on the Health Masters website, news aggregation site. You can read it for yourself, not adding anything to this except for a few things about the atavistic hatred of Jesus Christ that these guys have had for thousands of years, and they're doing everything they possibly can. This leftist, Sabbatean, Frankist sect, this extreme liberal sect of Judaism, to destroy Christianity and Christian values. This has all come to you through the Frankfurt School. Now remember this. I've told you this. And so another example. This is antiwar.com, and it's an article of this. It's by David DeCamp, and it says, Israeli soldier gets a slap on the wrist for the murder of an unarmed child. An Israeli soldier was convicted for the death of a 15-year-old Palestinian boy during a great March of Return protest last year at the border fence that separates Gaza Strip from Israel. The soldier is the first Israeli to be convicted of anything since the protest began in March 2018. Not surprisingly, this soldier for the murder of this young boy was sentenced to 1 month of labor. He was demoted to a private and not convicted for murdering the boy, only for doing so without permission. I'm going to withhold comment. The Israeli Defense Force, IDF, said in a statement, the verdict indicates that on July the 13th, 2018, during a riot, the soldier fired at a Palestinian rioter who climbed the border fence opposite the Gaza Strip without obtaining permission, in other words, to kill this 15-year-old, from his commanders while not following the rules of engagement for the instructions given to him earlier. A view of the incident was uploaded to Twitter. There you go. That's why it got exposed. The video shows the 15-year-old Athas Hellas barely got his 2 feet on the fence before he was shot dead. Hellas is clearly unarmed and cannot be taken as serious threat to a soldier with a rifle and full body armor. Guys, you know, and so goes the world. So goes the world. And we sit here and we go, you know, why in the world is this okay? Why are we allowing countries to openly engage in this type of behavior? And yet we continue to send approximately $35,000, $38,000 per family in Israel every single year. Why in the world do Christians not wake up and realize that Israel is the number one homosexual destination in the world. The last march they had for pro-gay, pro-transgender, pro-pansexualism, which means sex with anything, they had 200,000 people show up for the march. They've had 17 full gay marches in Tel Aviv and in Jerusalem, right where Jesus was in the Via della Rosa. I mean, what the heck? And Christians go over there and they support this country with these horrible values, this Rothschild fiefdom that was put together by the Rothschilds through the Balfour Declaration over 100 years ago. It started, and we're supposed to sit here and blindly turn our eye and say, none of this is true, none of this is happening, none of this is going to happen over there. They're not the number one homosexual destination in the world. Well, Google it. If Google will still tell you the truth, you duck, duck, go if you need to. Just put the Tel Aviv, number one homosexual destination in the world. And you say, why would they be like that? Well, because remember, we think that the Old Testament is being followed by today's Jewish folks in Jerusalem and in Israel. It's not. They follow the Babylonian Talmud. This is the rules and these are the oral rules and traditions that were handed down for generations and generations that were finally written down into the Talmud in the 600 AD. This is the same group of people that Jesus says, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your traditions, what it says in the word. Because they used the traditions to nullify the book of Moses or the Torah or the Pentateuch or the five first books of Levitical law. And this is what we need to understand. We need to ask ourselves who we are and why are we allowing this to happen to us in the United States of America. Now, Paul Craig Roberts came out with an interesting article, and it said, an obituary of the Western world. And I like Paul Craig Roberts. I really like his writings. I don't agree with everything he puts out, but I do with 90%. Paul says, during the course of my life, I've watched the Western world abandon all of the values that made it successful. Despite all of its crimes, and there are many, the Western world succeeded. Everyone wanted to be part of it, and it will be the demise of the Russians that they still do. Okay? The Western world succeeded because it believed in objective truth and searched for it. This resulted in scientific and technological discoveries in architecture, artistic beauty, and in the brilliant literature that educated the uneducatable into the human condition. But objective truth is no longer acceptable in the Western woke world because it is contrary to the woke ideologies. There is no difference between men and women. That there are many genders and that men and women can be born into the wrong bodies, that hurt feelings are more important than empirical facts, that many subjects are not subject to examination or debate because they offend emotive beliefs of feminists, people of color, Jews, the new transgendered species, and whoever else can make a claim of victimhood. Everyone can be claimed to a victim except white male heterosexuals. They are branded exploiters of everyone else. And they are unable to get out of the trap. In the Western world, white heterosexual males face the same fate as the Bourgeois under Lenin. I didn't pronounce that correctly. A white heterosexual male who defends himself or his fellows is immediately branded a misogynist or a white supremacist. Increasingly, courts have treated white heterosexual males as if they were members of a criminal class. We now live in a world in which a self-declared victim can block truth because the truth offends them. The unoffended are able to get the truth teller fired and removed from employment. His crime is that he exercised free speech. Today, free speech is the most pure and sure source of path to self-destruction for a white heterosexual male. We see this every day, everywhere. Throughout the Western world, it is now more important to have the approved gender, sexual preference, and racial balance than merit in university appointments, corporate hiring or promotion, movies and media. Any white male professor who fails to keep up with prohibitive words and thoughts is dead meat. Today, the Western world is based on race and gender quotas and the woke ideologies that have no correspondence to reality. Let's stop for 1 second. I got to comment on this. Today, the Western world is based on race and gender quotas. Back in the 60s and the 70s, they started this gender quota and race quota in the major universities. And what it allowed the universities to do was to discriminate against white males. That was the primary objective. It was that they said that white males were the primary doctors, lawyers, professionals, etc., and that it wasn't fair to the masses of minorities in our country because they weren't able to compete fairly on tests and GPA and on classes as the white males were, because there was a white heterosexual male bias. Now, it didn't apply to women. It applied to white men only. About 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I had a good friend of mine, in fact, he's my attorney, and his son has a master's degree in chemical engineering with like a 3.75 GPA. The kid is absolutely brilliant. Well, he decided after he finished his master's degree in chemical engineering that he wanted to go to medical school. And he took his organic chemistry, which he already had in general chemistry, got straight A's and everything, took his MCAT, scored real well on that, applied to multiple medical schools, and was rejected from all of them for the only one reason. He was white. Now, here's the problem I have with any of this. Let's say you have two people. You have one guy with a 3.7 GPA who's absolutely brilliant, and another person who's a minority who has a 2.6 GPA, and they're not so bright. And because the one person is a minority, they're accepted into a medical program, and they're pushed through because of affirmative action. And now all of a sudden, you show up at the hospital one night, and let's say this guy's a thoracic surgeon, and now you had the opportunity to have this one brilliant guy who was a thoracic, could have been a thoracic surgeon, who was never allowed to go to medical school, operate on you, or the guy who barely got through his classes, who was pushed through because of affirmative action, he cuts you open and you die. Well, let me ask you a question. You may have died anyhow if the white guy had done surgery on you. You may have died on no matter who did surgery on you, may have died. But you don't know. You don't know. So to me, it's like, I don't care if they're white, I don't care if they're black, I don't care if they're Hispanic. Whoever has the best grades, who has the most skill set, who can do this and not kill people, should be the person put in charge. And that's why I tell you guys all the time, if you are going to the hospital, you need to get multiple opinions, because you don't know who you have if you don't know the person. If you're in the hospital, if you're going to the emergency room, you don't know who the person is. You don't know if they're good or bad or ugly, or I guess you know if they're ugly, but you know if they're good or bad. You know who they are, all right? And so you need to get multiple opinions from multiple doctors before you let them crack you open and start doing surgery on you. Years ago, I had a friend of mine, pastor. His mom was having gastrointestinal issues, and they couldn't get it better. And she was kind of a hypochondriac, and she was having all these issues, but there was nothing wrong with her. They did an MRI on her. They took a look at her. Couldn't find anything. So finally, the doctor says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to cut her open. So they cut her open from the sternum all the way down to the pubic bone, pulled her open, pulled her insides out, looked around, saw what they could see, what they could find. Nothing was wrong with her. Put her back together, dead a week later, died of sepsis. And you're like, what the heck, man? Yeah, nothing wrong. They couldn't find anything wrong with her. Is that who you want cutting you open, honestly? The guy who doesn't want to look at the MRI, look at a CAT scan, just want to cut you open and just feel around in there, see what they can find? Yeah, I mean, you know, what the heck? They could have at least done it laparoscopically, but oh no, they had to cut her open. And I warned her. I knew her. She's a friend of mine. I warned her. I said, don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Because remember, when you sign that little surgery, you know, little thing, that little that waiver, you give them permission to pretty much do anything they want in you while you're unconscious, so they can't wake you up back up and ask for your permission if you're under anesthesia. Same thing happened to my aunt, Audrey. You know, she had a valve that was bad in one of her hearts. She's in her mid-80s, for heaven's sake. She's about 100 pounds overweight. It's hard to believe she lived that long being that heavy. And she was walking. She walked a mile pushing a baby carriage the day before the surgery. I mean, I warned her and pleaded with her, please don't do this surgery. You're in your mid-80s. You're way overweight. I said, you're not a surgery candidate because of your weight and because of your age. You're already in your 80s. I mean, whatever. And she did the surgery, and she ended up having a quadruple bypass while she was in there that she was unaware of, and the valve replacement. And of course, she never came out of the anesthesia properly, never woke up properly, and she was dead a few days later. And they asked me to come do the eulogy for her funeral, and I did. Flew to Iowa to do that. One of the finest people that I've ever known. And it was crazy, but I pleaded with her not to do it. So think through before you do surgery. Before you sign those release forms, you know, make it your last choice. If you're going to do something really, really invasive, do everything you possibly can first. You know, why don't you maybe change your diet? there's a real wild concept. Why don't you start taking some supplements, some good quality supplements? Why don't you just do anything you can first before you go in and just have them start whacking on you, removing body parts? That's really important. Now, back to Paul Craig Roberts' articles. He says, I'm going to read this last sentence again. Today, the Western world is based on race and gender quotas and on woke ideologies that have no correspondence to reality. Today, throughout the Western world, it is very difficult for a white heterosexual male to get a tenure track appointment in a university. True. In the UK and many European countries, announcements of university employment openings are restricted to women and only to people of color. I'm going to repeat that. In the UK and many European countries, announcement of university employment openings are restricted to women and only to people of color. This is blatant discrimination against white heterosexual males. A group unprotected by anti-discrimination laws and thus subject to discrimination. Remember, the whites are only 5% of the population of the planet. We're the minority. The justification offered for the discrimination against merit is that white heterosexual males have dominated for too long. Okay? But the real reason is to get rid of the objective truth, which stands in the way of the false ideologies of the woke generation. Some white males are part of the woke generation. They're insouciant. Okay? They're an insouciant race and gender traitors and are sealing their own fate along with that of other white men. Insouciance means a blatant disregard the truth of the facts, that basically you're basically going along with all the stuff, like you have an insouciant behavior. They are insouciant race and gender traitors and are sealing their own fate along with that of other white men. They have pandered to the ruling ideologies in order to have an income, considering the white males on Rothschild-owned CNN, Rothschild-owned MSNBC, Rothschild-owned BBC, Rothschild-owned NPR, Rothschild-owned or controlled Washington Post, New York Times, and the rest of the Western world prostitute Rothschild-controlled media. I'm adding Rothschild in there. That's who they are. If they tell the truth, their career's ended. They have to lie to demonize Russians, Trump, and white heterosexual males in order to have a paycheck. In the Western world today, the only people who suffer are those who tell the truth. Look at Julian Assange, Manning, Edward Snowden, and other persecuted truth tellers allegedly protected by whistleblower laws who were sent to prison and left without a livelihood despite the law that protected them. What more evidence do you need than white Western world is lawless? And I told you this. Yesterday I was on a talk show, and I was a guest, and it was taped. And they basically started talking about what Trump wasn't doing, you know, what Trump was allowing. And the host was a pro-Trumper, and he started arguing with me. And this was on tape, so I doubt the show will ever be aired. And I said, look, I'm sorry. I said, Trump's done some good stuff, but we can't ignore the stuff that he hasn't done. And then he mentioned the fact that Obama had basically signed the executive order to seize all of our stuff. And I said, okay, right. That's right. I didn't say Obama was any good. He's bad, too. I said, but Trump hasn't gotten rid of that executive order. He hasn't signed another executive order to get rid of that executive order. I said, he hasn't done that. And so you have to understand that the group of people that we have as Western world leaders are chosen for us because they do what they're told to do and they stay on script? Is that kind of the way we need to say this? Then Paul Craig Roberts goes on to say, today the Western world is based on not a truth but on lies. A world based on lies is a false world, and that is what the Western world is today. It is a lie. And it goes on to an article by Lance Wellington that describes how the female takeover academia is destroying rational thought and substituting emotional responses in its place. And Stephen Adams describes in another article how Lindsay McCarthy Calvert was hounded out of her job as a spokesperson for Doula UK, the National Organization of Birth Coaches, for saying on Facebook that only women can have babies. So she no longer has a job because she said women. This is twisted. The organization concluded that her obviously true statement breached the organization's equality and diversity guidelines because men can't have children, can't give birth to children. Delta Airlines in its flight films elevated the preferences of a small minority of lesbian homosexuals above that of straight population, and shows now same-sex love scenes on Delta movies where children can actually watch these things without any adult supervision or see the screen sitting beside them of lesbian and gay scenes. The lesbian homosexuals were offended by their absence. In other words, because they couldn't see queers kissing or lesbians kissing, it made this big deal. The straights offended by the scenes don't matter. In Oklahoma City, the police are investigating it's okay to be white posters as a hate crime. It's okay to be white. You're a hater. It's a hate crime. Who could imagine it's okay to be black protesters being investigated as a hate crime. In Sweden, truthfully attributing to the 1,472% increase in rape to the immigrant invaders gets a person investigated for a hate crime. So if you say, well, you know, we've got a bunch of migrating Muslim hordes that are raping women who basically don't have their faces covered and they think it's okay because that's what they did in their culture, and they're doing this, and we have a 1,472% increase in hate crime, and many of this, as much as this is due to the immigrant invaders, you are now a hater because you told the truth. In the Western world, a handful of perverts are able to dominate the vast masses of the Western population because only victim groups can specify who the guilty parties are. The guilty parties are the social and intellectual mores of people who made Western civilization great despite its many crimes. Now, I've posted this article to the Health Masters website news system. So, guys, please watch that and listen to it. Now, also, I want to go and stop for 1 second. I want to talk about what's happening right now with this viral load they're putting into children, and they're putting complete human genome with cancer in the vaccines. You know, I had speculated on this about 4 or 5 years ago when I talked about the increased risks of cancer with vaccines, and now we see that the human DNA they're injecting into these children has cancer vaccine, has cancer added to it. This is exactly what happened to the same extent, but even worse with the human DNA, with SV40. Now, I'm reading you from the Wikipedia page now, and this is again posted on the website. SV40 is an abbreviation for simian baculating virus 40, or simian virus 40. It's a polio virus that is found in both monkeys and in humans. And like other polio viruses, SV40 is a DNA virus that has the potential to cause tumors in animals, but most often persists as a latent infection. SV40 has been widely studied as a model virus, leading to many early discoveries of DNA replication and transcription. The discovery of SV40 revealed that between 1955, listen to me, friends, the discovery of SV40 revealed between 1955 and 1963, around 90% of children and 60% of adults in the U.S. were inoculated with SV40 contaminated polioviruses, which has led to a huge increase in brain tumors, brain cancers, breast cancers, and kidney cancers. Now, this is from Wikipedia. It's telling you right there. They said over approximately 100 million people were injected with this mess, or actually wasn't. It was a live virus. They drank it. And see, this is something that people don't get. This is happening and has been happening through the eugenics protocol all over the planet for close, you know, to 100 years now. And this is what they want. They want you to basically be sick, and they want you to die, and they want to reduce the population. Now, why would they do that? Well, you know, there's another article that was from altmarket.com, and it's a really good article, and it says, Global Elitists Are Not Human. And I've posted this on our website also, and I'm going to keep saying that because I want you guys to start looking at the website because I have all these articles posted. It is often said that the otherizing people overall can be dangerous, and otherizing your enemies specifically can be tactically detrimental. And, of course, he says, I'm talking about the globalists. And then he goes on to deal with the globalists and who they are and how they have a false sense of superiority and self-aggrandizement. A lot of these guys are megalomaniacs. They operate through manipulation and coercion, and they have a lack of empathy for others. Then he says, not all narcissists are sociopaths, but most sociopaths are narcissists. When we speak of narcissists, it's important to remember that there are a varying degree of this psychological cancer. When I mention globalists in particular being narcissistic, I'm referring to their propensity to be high-functioning narcissists with sociopathic tendencies. In other words, they are narcissists that not only have an inflated sense of self-worth, but they are also devoid of empathy and conscience. They are willing to harm others to any degree and get what they want in the moment as long as they think they can avoid consequences for doing so. Now, I'm going to stop for 1 second, and I'm going to say basically these are broken. He says they're broken non-humans. I'm going to stop, and I'm going to say one other thing about this. I think a lot of these guys, and I'm just going to tell you how I feel, who are these world elite rulers that we call elite, who I call scum, who are doing this. I'm talking now George Soros, Rothschild, and a plethora of these other clans that are involved in killing human beings through these vaccines and through eugenics protocols and through abortion. And they have no empathy or no feeling or no care whatsoever for these people who they kill. I personally believe that these guys have a high probability of having Nephilim DNA. You say, what the heck, Ted? Are you starting on that? Yeah, I am. You heard the show yesterday. I really believe that these guys can trace their lineage back to Lucifer himself. And when they were when that Spear of Destiny show aired a few years ago on the History Channel, the guy who was being interviewed said these guys consider themselves to be the benign Nephilim, the sons of the fall, and they consider their blood lineage go all the way back to Lucifer. Guys, this is the bloodline families. There's a reason they're called bloodline families. They're part of a bloodline. And I believe that this goes all the way back to the fallen ones, and that these guys have been bred specifically for a lack of empathy, and that they're sociopaths, and they really don't see you and I as a human, as an individual, as a living entity. They see us as they call us goyim, or cattle, or just animals. And they want to make us believe that, you know, we are nothing in their eyes. That we're like, if you go out and you step in a red ant bed and you get ants on you and you swat the ants off and kill them and you come back and spray it with a can of Raid, you know, that's how they view us. Look outside. Look at the chemtrails. Look at the Morgellons. I talked about this yesterday in detail. Look at what they're doing. Look at the aluminum. Look at all the barium. Look at all the junk they're spraying on you and destroying your immune systems. Look at all. And they don't care. They just spray you like you're some kind of vermin. Because they don't consider you to be human or a Nephilim bloodline. I guess they don't consider you to be satanic enough. I guess I don't know. What the heck's wrong with these people? But there's some kind of weird trigger that these guys have that just allows them to do this kind of crazy stuff. So I've posted this. Global elitists are not human. So you guys can read through this. And then let's talk about this. Fox News. Joy Behar. Don't tell Americans before you take their guns. She's talking about how Beto basically resigned and is no longer running for president. Just politicians seeking to confiscate guns from Americans shouldn't share their plans with the public beforehand and should seek to maintain an element of surprise, Joy Behar said on The View on Monday. Why is this woman on The View? Why is she talking and why are people listening to this weirdo? Behar. Basically, who's Jewish, who was discussing former 2020 presidential hopeful Beto O'Rourke's Democrat from Texas, and said it was foolish of him to announce his plans for gun confiscation before he was elected. She advised all politicians to go after the country's guns after they've assumed office. They should not tell everything they're going to do. If you're going to take people's guns away, tell them, wait until you get elected, then just take the guns away. Hey, don't tell them ahead of time. You know, the fact that these people are actually on TV and the fact that the American population watches these whacked out women who basically say this crap and they get away with it, and that you guys who watch this show continue to buy from the sponsors who pay for the advertising. Guys, let me tell you how you make The View go away. You boycott all the advertisers that pay for The View. And all of these salaries these nutbag women are getting who are on The View, they won't get the salaries anymore. So you boycott them. No matter who they are on the commercial, you know, just say out, don't promote these advertisers, don't buy anything from these guys. They pay for things on The View. And I promise you, The View will go away, and these people will no longer have this unbelievable liberal platform in which they can do and say anything they want to say whenever they want to say it. It's so important that you don't support people who you don't believe. It's so important, by the way. Deutsche Bank, what a mess. Bank is on death watch, and it's taken a very interesting turn. This is an article by Michael Schneider, posted, of course. The biggest bank in Europe is in the process of imploding, and there are persistent rumors that the final collapse could happen rather sooner than later. Those that follow Schneider's work on a regular basis already know that there's a story behind this for years. Deutsche Bank is rapidly bleeding cash, and they've been laying off thousands of workers, and the vultures have been circling as company executives desperately tried to implement a turnaround plan. Unfortunately for Deutsche Bank, it may already be too late. And if Deutsche Bank goes down, it will be even more catastrophic for the global financial system than the collapse of Lehman Brothers was in 2008. Germany is the glue that holds the EU together. And so if that bank, okay, is the heart of Germany's financial system, collapses, the dominoes will start falling very, very quickly. And guys, this is what's happening right now in the EU. The EU is in a major problem. And you know, it's funny. One of my German relatives texted me this morning. She wanted to know if I could order something off of Amazon for her because they don't have it available over in Germany. I told her I'd be happy to do that if Germany let me ship it to them. And what the irony was is this. She asked me out of the cold blue, what do you think about Donald Trump? Do you like him? And I said, you know, look, Trump's done some things that are good. He's done some things that are bad. But overall, he's made a lot of bad mistakes and needs to keep his mouth shut. So we went on to a long-term discussion of Donald Trump this morning. And I told her, I said, well, you know, Angela Merkel is worse. And she goes, you're absolutely right. Angela Merkel has destroyed Europe with Muslims and immigration funded by George Soros. So, guys, the world is waking up. By the way, America has had a 50-fold increase in obsessive-compulsive disorder. What's going on? Obsessive-compulsive disorder, OCD, considered a neurobiological condition, is often a long-lasting disorder which a person has uncontrollable, reoccurring thoughts, obsessions, and behaviors, compulsions, that he or she feels the urge to repeat over and over again. Although specific obsessions and compulsions vary widely from person to person, the common denominator is they create a stress and interfere with daily life. U.S. researchers estimate that OCD affects 1 to 2% of children, up to 3% of adults. The current lifetime prevalence estimate of around 2.7% is 54 times higher than the estimated pre-1980s prevalence before we started giving 76 vaccines. So what are we doing to the immune systems? What are we doing to children? What are we doing with the neuroinflammatory responses? What are we doing with mitochondrial development? Again, the article's posted Health Masters News site. Yale study in 2017. Research from the Yale Child Study Center published a retrospective case control study in Frontiers of Psychiatry. You can read about it. Guys, I want to thank you. You know, I want to thank you for – oh, by the way, I have to tell you guys, we went ahead and sent an email out allowing you guys to stack the coupon on the GHI because Austin had said on Monday we don't stack coupons, and I had said on Hagman last week that we were going to allow that for this one time. And so we corrected that, and we allowed you guys to do that. If you have any issues with that, call us up, and we'll be happy to give you that coupon price on the GHI vanilla only. I love you guys. I appreciate you. That'll be that coupon price through today, just through Wednesday. So my staff's going to go nuts trying to figure out what I just said on the radio. I'll call them and let them know in a minute. Guys, I love you. I prayed for you this morning. You know, I pray for all of you every single day. You mean the world to me. This has been fun for me. A little chit chat by the side of the fireplace here at my house, which I really am sitting in front of the fireplace, and just talking to you guys. It's been absolutely wonderful that I've got to spend today with you guys. Thank you for your support. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for your prayers, above all. Thank you to get your toothpaste from us. Thank you that you listen to us on a regular basis. You know, I may not have all the answers, but I have a few of my own opinion of maybe right or some of you guys may think are not right, but I do the best I can. But I want you to know something. I love you guys beyond belief. You guys are absolutely awesome, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. God bless you. We'll